My name is Jerry, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable. Look at all of you. My God, I'll do smiley, sober faces. I'd like to thank the speaker committee for allowing me the opportunity to come up here and speak today. Welcome to all the newcomers, and congratulations to Lori, Suzanne, Mike, and Kevin. Awesome. Just to give you a reference point where I'm coming from, as I tell you a very abbreviated 12 minutes max, Joe, wherever you are, portion of my story is I have a year and 27 days today. And I'm kind of annoyingly giddy about my newfound sobriety and healthy way of life, so I'm warning you in advance. My first memory of alcohol, I was in Jack Benny's dressing room. Jack Benny, my dad was a really talented musician who played with Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, and we would travel around with him. And we were in Jack Benny's dressing room. I'm 6 years old. Jack Benny is getting ready to try out a joke on me and my brother and my mom and my dad. And there he was. I picture him exactly like he was, white robe, black horn-rimmed glasses, slippers, black socks, cigar in one hand, a glass of scotch in the other hand. And that's the first time I noticed alcohol. The ensemble worked for him, by the way. My first drunk, I was 12 years old, and I was at a party where there were adults and children. There was a champagne fountain out in the back, and I pulled off of that. I liked the taste, so I kept drinking. I didn't just get a little buzzed. I got flat-out drunk. And my friend's mom took me home. She had never met my parents. Dropped me off at our house. And there I am, literally trying to not to fall. And my parents and this woman, and I start crying. Was I afraid or ashamed or embarrassed? No, these were tears of joy. And I uttered the now famous words from my family, "This is the happiest day of my life." My brother since put it in a movie. My whole family's in the arts. If you ever see Midnight Madness, you see a guy fall into a beer vat on a beer tour, and he comes up and he says, "This is the happiest day." That's my 15 minutes of fame right there. So no time and no need to get into. We all know what it means to get drunk. We all have gotten drunk a lot. By eighth grade, I was drinking two or three screwdrivers once in a while before riding my bike to eighth grade. I was... My mom didn't laugh like at the time. I was always the one in junior high school and high school that got passed out drunk in the field when we would drink, one too many beers or 10 too many beers. Always drank to get drunk. If there's any other alcoholics in this room, you know what I'm talking about. It was never, I'll have a beer and see how I feel after that. Or maybe I'll put it down in the middle of the second one. Always drank to get drunk. When I drank... But I didn't drink on a regular basis until I was about 30 years old, and that's because at around 30 is when I gave up my first drug of choice and started drinking more heavily. And in AA, we learn not to talk about other addictions or drugs of choice, so I'm going to respect that. But I'll just tell you that it rhymed with weed. So my dad took me to my first AA meeting. Besides being a great guy, a great musician, my dad died 14 years ago at 63 years old with 27 years of sobriety. And when I was in my early 30s, he could tell I was in trouble, lured me to his house and said, "There's something important I want to talk to you about." And he dragged my ass into my first AA meeting. There I was with all of you, with this cigarette smells, in the room, and I'm here. I find myself sitting around the circle, just like in the movies. I'm Fred. I'm an alcoholic. I'm Steve. I'm an alcoholic, and it's coming around to me. And I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to say? I'm not an alcoholic, but on the other hand, I don't want to appear rude. So this is, to the best of my recollection, what came out of my mouth. Yeah, I'm Jerry, and I guess once in a while, I probably drink a little more than what's in my best interest. Swear to God. Hi, Jerry. On to the next, right? But I learned three really important things at that meeting. And one of them is that there is something called alcoholism, and some people have it. I didn't know that going into my first AA meeting. Also, that if you do have it, you can find hope and the solution inside the rooms of AA. And most important for me at the time, I learned that the way that an alcoholic, one of the ways that they can tell if they're an alcoholic is that they can't control their drinking. And that really resonated with me. It's like, might be something to this. So I set about for the next year or two trying to control my drinking. And I love the more about alcohol. We hear it at all our meetings. We heard it tonight. I tried drinking just wine. I tried reading self-help books, drinking only on the weekends and a certain type of alcohol on the weekdays, whatever. But I would swear that if the More About Alcoholism had been written 40 or 50 years later, they would have included what was my preferred way to try to control my drinking, which was the use of spreadsheets. I would set, still to this day, I'm a numbers guy, and I set personal goals for myself. I've done this for 30 years. I set New Year's resolutions. Here's my goals. Here's my yearly, my monthly. I track myself on a daily basis with some pretty good success. So, of course, I should be able to do this. So I decided that, if I only drink 4 days a week, right? And I decided that for those 4 days, two of the days I could drink two glasses of wine, one day I could have three glasses of wine, and on the fourth day I could drink as much as I wanted. There might be a few alcoholics in this room. Guess how it worked out for me. So it would be, middle of the week, and I'd say, I can do this because it's Wednesday, and everyone knows the week starts on Sunday. Sunday would come, and sometime during the day I'd say, what idiot came up with the week starts on Sunday? Everyone knows week starts on Monday. Monday would come, I'd get home and look in the TV times, and there's a Dodger game on. I'm from L.A. The worst feeling in the world, how am I going to watch a Dodger game and not have my bottle of wine? How could I possibly live? So I'd say, in my program I've said one day I can drink as much as I want. I plan to save it to the end of the week. Anyway, and then the last one is then Tuesday would come, and, I'd wake up in horror, like, that's it, I've run out of my straws. Get home from work, look at the L.A. Times, and this is when I learned something interesting about myself. No Dodger game. But did you know that two really good episodes of Seinfeld back-to-back were just as good of an excuse to drink wine and... Anyway, you get the idea. Forget about it. Within a year or two of my first AA meeting, I knew I couldn't control my drinking. But as far as the life being unmanageable, I still had my car, I still had my job. You guys weren't going to tell me my life's unmanageable. Mind you, you guys weren't telling me anything. This was just a conversation in my head. But you guys weren't going to tell me my life's unmanageable. And I rode that pride-based denial into the ground over the next 20 plus years as my life, as I look back now, became more and more unmanageable. Near the end, a year and a month or so ago, I was drinking earlier in the day, like 3:30 or 4. I was drinking a bottle and a half of wine every night. I was waiting for the gout to come back. I had gout off and on for 10 or 15 years that would come to both ankles and my knee. Anyone that knows about it, the most excruciating pain you can imagine, waiting for that to come back. My blood pressure, my cholesterol was through the roof. I was getting these pounding, very scary, pulsing things in the back of my head that made me pass out twice. Neurologist told me I was at high risk to have a stroke if I didn't change my lifestyle. My wife was packing her boxes to move out of the house. I no longer had any enjoyment, got pleasure out of anything in life, and my work performance had decreased to barely acceptable. And all of a sudden, a thought came to me. I think my life is unmanageable. 20-something plus years later, that's what my bottom looked like. And that's when I got through my denial, into my acceptance, became willing to do whatever you guys told me that you've done in the past that has worked for you. Tell me what to do. I hit my bottom. So we have, I got back into the rooms of AA. I joined the McDonald Center, IOP, and I got busy with putting together a program. And So, you know, there's dozens and dozens of tools at our disposal, but I'm going to tell you the three that have worked the best for me that I really believe in. The first one is the first step. I say it every time I check into an AA meeting. I cannot afford to forget that my life had gotten unmanageable and that I'm powerless over alcohol. If I start forgetting that or not believing in it with any fiber of my mind, body, or soul, anything else I do toward my program of recovery is built on a foundation of wet sand, and I will go down. Second one is that sobriety is my top priority. This number two is like cheating. It's not just one thing. It's like if you got a wish and said, I wish for 10 more wishes. So in the beginning, it was... I was not sure how many meetings do I have to go to. I really want this thing to work. What if I don't believe in a higher power the same way this person does? And I really don't think I'm ever going to get down on my knees and pray, is this thing going to work? And thank goodness my sponsor, Howard, I was whining to him about this one day. And he probably saw that I was in trouble. And he asked me, is sobriety your top priority? And sobriety is today my top priority. I have a sponsor. I work the steps. I go to three or four meetings. I have commitments at two of the meetings. I stay plugged into the program by calling my sponsor and one other person in the program every day. I do H&I. I do alumni speaker and McDonald Center. And the last one is this fellowship. The fellowship of AA is my third most important tool, and my appreciation for that has grown just immensely. You know, what other team? I love teams and people pulling together. And this team, you know, all we care about is staying sober and helping someone else get sober. There's no climbing to the top, no ulterior motives. And if you look at the fifth tradition over there, that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to those who suffer. I mean, that's beautiful. So in closing, today my life is immeasurably better. Unbelievable. In a year and a month, I no longer have gout at all. My cholesterol, my blood pressure are perfect. I no longer am a risk to have a stroke, which is a good thing. I swim and exercise on a regular basis. I'm about to finish my first big art piece in 20 years. I'm taking watercoloring classes. My performance at work improved to the point where it got noticed. I got a really cool promotion. I get to travel to some very cool places and make some cool decisions that my company trusts me with at work. And most importantly, my obsession to drink has been lifted. That torture of that whole, you know, it was just awful. So I'm really going to try to wrap up fast here. I want to just thank my family and some friends in and out of recovery that have come, made it a point to support me here tonight, and I really, really appreciate that. And if anyone's looking for a meeting, just down the street here, 5107 Waring Road, some quality sobriety, some awesome people there that have helped kept me sober. If you're new, there is hope. As much as I hated hearing this, and still do, you don't have to drink. We forget sometimes we have a choice to drink when we pick up that drink. Just like today in recovery, I have a choice not to drink. You can find the hope and the solution in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I would just like to thank every person here for all the time that you spend going to AA meetings and sharing your stories of experience, strength, and hope. You painted a path for me that was there for me when I was finally ready to take it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.